From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, commentary, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo received highest award by Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. President Joko Widodo reshuffles cabinet in his remaining term. Philippines says two ships damaged in collisions with China vessels. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where Indonesian President Joko Widodo received the highest award from the government of Palestine, the Grand Collar Order of the State of Palestine. As stated by Indonesia's State Secretariat Riyad Al-Maliki, a special envoy of the Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas presented the award at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Monday. The award was given in a recognition of Indonesia's consistent support for the Palestinian people's struggle for independence. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi explained that the award was presented after meeting President Joko Widodo.
Utusan khusus menyampaikan penghargaan yang sangat tinggi dari Presiden Mahmoud Abbas.
The special envoy conveyed great appreciation from President Mahmoud Abbas to the President of the Republic of Indonesia for Indonesia's consistent position in supporting the struggle of the Palestinian people.
Retno Marsudi also said that during the meeting, President Jokowi reaffirmed Indonesia's position on Palestine. The president said Indonesia will continue to support the Palestinian people's struggle and commit to fight for international recognition and full membership of Palestine in the United States. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has again reshuffled his cabinet, with about 2 months remaining in his term. Three new ministers and one new deputy minister were inaugurated at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. They are the new Minister of Law and Human Rights Supratman Andi Adgas, the new Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Bahlil Lahadalia, the new Minister of Investment doubled as Head of Investment Coordinating Board Rosan Roslani, and the new Deputy Minister of Communication and Informatics Angga Raka Prabowo. Meanwhile, Hasan Nasbi, a member of the Synchronization Task Force of the Indonesian President-elect Prabowo Subianto, was inaugurated as head of the Indonesian Presidential Communication Office. The newly created office will support public communication and information on the President's strategic policies and priority programs. Indonesian Minister of Health tightens the health check scheme for foreign nationals entering Indonesia, including state guests, to prevent the entry of the monkeypox virus. As reported by Antara News Agency, the Ministry's Acting Director General of Disease Prevention and Control, Yudi Pramono, in an online press conference on Sunday said, his ministry is currently increasing vigilance, especially at the country's entry points, and issuing a questionnaire for foreign state guests. According to Pramono, surveillance is still a challenge, so Indonesia needs to increase vigilance, especially since monkeypox cases have increased this year. He explained the World Health Organization WHO appeal not to restrict international travelers and no priority on vaccination are consideration for the Ministry of Health to tighten foreign tourist visits. Besides, on the ministry's data from January to August, the trend of monkeypox cases in Indonesia was recorded at 14 confirmation and 74 suspected cases discarded. However, those cases came from the clade 2B group, with a lower fatality rate than the clade 2B group that infected Africa. Indonesian Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman conducted an implementation trial of palm oil-based B50 biodiesel for vehicle in South Kalimantan on Sunday. As reported by Antara News Agency, it is crucial to achieving national energy independence, a goal the nation aims to achieve within the next 5 to 10 years, and aligned with Indonesia's vision for a sustainable energy future. After the biodiesel trial and soft launch at the John Lin Agro Raya Biodiesel Factory in Batu Licin, South Kalimantan, Minister Sulaiman said the B50 showed a promising result and the engine sounds good. The minister believed that the need for palm oil-based biodiesel in the future would grow, especially for domestic consumption in realizing national energy security. Sulaiman said the Indonesian government aims to increase biofuel usage and reduce crude oil and fuel imports through the National Energy Priority Programs, including B50 biodiesel and E10 bioethanol. Sulaiman expressed confidence that other ministries, technical institutions and biodiesel industry players have also developed and tested biodiesel prototypes, although their use is currently limited to internal consumption. Let's move on to the international news, where Malaysia is inviting countries that buy the country's palm oil to adopt orangutans but leave them in their natural habitat. As reported by AFP, the policy was confirmed by Malaysian Minister of Plantation and Commodities, Johari Abdul Ghani, on Sunday. He said that all conservation activities will be carried out in forest areas or forest patches in oil palm plantation with high conservation value. These areas should provide space for orangutans to move freely, find food, and reproduce without interference from humans or other activities. Buyers of Malaysian palm oil from around the world can sponsor one or more orangutans, and the funds collected will be used to implement conservation programs for the animals. This plan tweaks a previous controversial plan in May that originally sought to send some of the orangutans abroad in a scheme modeled on China's panda diplomacy. According to the International Union for Conservation of Nature, IUCN, orangutans are critically endangered and have lost habitat to logging and agricultural expansion, particularly palm oil plantation. Philippine Coast Guard ships sustained serious damage in pre-dawn collisions with Chinese vessels near a disputed Sabina Shoal on Monday morning. The shoal is located 140 kilometers west of the Philippines island of Palawan and about 1,200 kilometers from Hainan Island, the closest Chinese landmass. As reported by AFP regarding the collision, Assistant Director General of the National Security Council of the Philippines, Jonathan Malaya, in a press conference claimed the Chinese vessels were conducting unlawful and aggressive maneuvers.
This morning, the Philippine Coast Guard vessel BRP Bagakay MRRB 4410 and BRP Cape Ingenio MRRB 4411 encountered unlawful and aggressive maneuvers from Chinese Coast Guard vessels while en route to Patag and Lawak Islands in the West Philippine Sea. These dangerous maneuvers resulted in collisions, causing structural damage to both Philippine Coast Guard vessels.
Manila said it was the first hostile actions by Beijing against its near Sabina, where both sides have stationed Coast Guard vessels in recent months and where the Philippines fears China is about to build an artificial island. China and the Philippines have had repeated confrontation in the waters in recent months as China continued to press its claims to almost the entire South China Sea. United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken said on Monday ongoing negotiations were maybe the last chance to reach an agreement to end the war. As reported by AFP, Blinken said that while in Israel to meet Israeli President Isaac Herzog and push for a truce in the Gaza Strip, Palestine, Blinken said that U.S. President Joe Biden had sent him to get this agreement to the line and ultimately over the line. He said they are working to ensure that there is no escalation, no provocation, and no action that could move away from getting the deal over the line or escalating the conflict to other places and with greater intensity. The visiting Secretary of State said it was a fraught moment in Israel and warned against any moves that could heighten regional tensions, following threats from Iran and the Lebanese armed group Hezbollah to avenge the recent killings of two militant leaders. Meanwhile, Herzog said Israel's wanted to see the return of hostages still held in the Gaza Strip as soon as possible. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on a glimmer of hope behind the World Humanitarian Day. I'm Dalat Pane. The World Humanitarian Day is commemorated every 19 August. The day is observed by the United Nations General Assembly since 2009 to remember the suicide bombing by terrorists at Canal Hotel, Baghdad, Iraq, on August 19, 2003. The incident took 22 lives, including a high envoy of the UN in Iraq. This year's World Humanitarian Day is themed Act for Humanity. With this theme, the UN called for an urgent action to protect civilian and humanitarian workers stuck in conflict zones. The UN also affirmed an urgent need to enforce humanitarian law or international law and protect those who stick their neck out to give aid in conflict areas. Gaza is a strong example of ignorance towards humanitarian law, and aid workers were seen as collateral damage of a conflict. Aid workers' security database reported there were 280 casualties among aid workers in 2023. The number soared from 118 in the preceding year. This year, until August 17, 2024, the UN saw the aid worker casualties in various conflict zones being similar to the previous year, namely 280 people. The number will keep rising, and this should raise the world's awareness, and aid workers in conflict zones are very threatened. In an official statement, the UN said, Gaza is the most dangerous place for aid workers, with more than 150 of them dead since October 2023. This added to the total of 40,000 casualties. Violence against aid workers is a threat to humanity and the people who fall victim because of conflicts. In a conflict zone, aid workers are very needed, not only to help victims, but also to grow hope and spirit to survive amid conflict. The world cannot close their eyes towards the need for aid workers in conflict zones. Aid workers, along with the women and children, must be most protected during conflict, not otherwise. The attack against aid workers, once again, is an attack against humanitarian aid. All conflicted parties must be able to open their eyes to this reality. All must respect the international humanitarian law and demand accountability of those who put aid workers in their crosshair during a conflict. The World Humanitarian Day must be a solemn reminder about the humanitarian fighters falling in their noble duty. Also, to strengthen the commitment to protect those who work in dangerous locations. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Oh, We begin today in history with the event on August 19, 1919, about the day Afghanistan gained independence. Afghanistan gained its independence from Great Britain on August 19, 1919. Afghanistan is a landlocked country located in the crossroads of South Asia and Central Asia. After gaining independence, Afghanistan frequently changed its system of government. Afghanistan became a member of the United Nations, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, the Group of 77, G77, the Economic Cooperation Organization, ECO, and the Non-Aligned Movement, NAM. We move to the next event in 1945, when the Indonesian Preparatory Committee for Independence, PPKI, held its second meeting and established regional governments. The Indonesian Preparatory Committee for Independence acted swiftly after the proclamation of Indonesia's independence on August 17, 1945. After appointing the president and vice president on August 18th, the committee began organizing state apparatuses. On August 19th, 1945, the committee held its second meeting and established regional governments. Additionally, the Indonesian Preparatory Committee for Independence formed the Regional National Committee, established 12 ministries and 4 state ministers, and appointed several high-ranking officials, including the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, the Attorney General, the State Secretary, and the State Spokesperson. We end with the event in 2003 about UN headquarters bombing, which killed a Brazilian diplomat. A car bomb exploded at the United Nations headquarters in Iraq on August 19, 2003. The UN Special Representative, Sergio Vieira de Mello, and 21 others were killed in the bombing. Additionally, 100 people nearby were reported injured. The bombing was suspected to have been carried out by Jamaat at-Tawhid wal-Jihad, who used a truck loaded with explosives. Abu Musab Zarqawi, the leader of the Al-Qaeda terrorist organization, claimed the responsibility for the attack. That was Today in History.
Kau yang kini dilanda patah hati, jangan takut, aku ada di sini menemanimu, menemanimu. Sudahlah, lupakan saja semua yang telah terjadi pada hari ini. Sudahlah, relakan saja, akan datang waktunya untuk yang baru.
Kau yang kini dilanda patah hati, jangan sedih.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The United Nations in Indonesia has commended the country for creating a secure humanitarian space that allows aid workers to perform their duties safely. According to a report by Antara on Sunday, a statement from the UN in Indonesia revealed that Tandi Mwape, head of the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, in Indonesia, stated that this endorsement amplifies calls for accountability and unity in protecting humanitarian efforts that safeguard others. In anticipation of World Humanitarian Day on August 19, the UN has called for urgent action to protect aid workers and civilians trapped in conflict zones. The aid worker security database reported that 288 workers were killed due to violence in 2023. This figure represents a 137% increase from 2022, where 118 aid workers lost their lives. The UN also noted that over 250 humanitarian workers have been killed in the ongoing conflict in Gaza since October 2023. Tandi Mwape emphasized that the normalization of violence against aid workers is unacceptable and immoral. She pointed out that such violence threatens the very foundation of humanitarian work and undermines efforts to reach those in dire need. She asserted that any attack on aid workers is an assault on humanity itself. World Humanitarian Day 2024 will be marked by a global digital campaign under the hashtag Act for Humanity. This campaign, promoted through the UN social media channels in Indonesia, seeks to rally public support and urge stakeholders to uphold norms that protect humanitarian work. The UN in Indonesia, in collaboration with humanitarian organizations, is hosting a humanitarian night at the Marta Cristina Tiahahu Literacy Park in Jakarta on Sunday. The event is expected to attract around 1,500 participants, including aid workers, government representatives, and the general public. The Solidarity Night highlights the adverse impact of armed conflicts on aid workers and civilians, while celebrating the resilience and dedication of those who continue to serve despite the risk.
Masih banyak yang belum sempat
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, the city of Pontianak is synonymous with the equator. It is one of the few cities in the world where the equator, or the 0-degree latitude line, runs through. In this city, a monument named the Equator Monument was built by a geographical expedition team led by a Dutch geographer. The Equator Monument is located on Jalan Katulistiwa in North Pontianak District, West Kalimantan. It takes about 30 minutes to reach the monument from the center of Pontianak. Visitors can enter the Equator Monument free of charge. The Equator Monument was built in 1928 using the science of astronomy. At that time, geographers conducted measurements without the advanced tools we have today, such as satellites or GPS. These experts relied solely on uneven or wavy lines and natural objects, like constellations, for their calculations. The monument has undergone several stages of refinement. The first was in 1930, where improvements were made to the pillar, circle, and a row. The second enhancement occurred in 1938 by an Indonesian architect, Frederik Silaban. That's Indonesian wonder.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, international musical entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Katanya
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing Indonesian vocabulary and guide you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between the Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Anyway, today's topic is about the perusahaan ekspedisi. The perusahaan ekspedisi, which means a shipping company. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation about bersepeda motor. Bersepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. This conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a staff at a shipping company in Semarang. The staff told Chris the fee of shipping his motorcycle. Let's listen to the conversation.
Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, bersepeda motor. Bersepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. I'm going to say each word two times slowly, and please repeat after me. Biaya, biaya, which means fee. Pengiriman, pengiriman, which means shipping. Dari Semarang, dari Semarang, which means from Semarang. Ke Palangkaraya, ke Palangkaraya, which means to Palangkaraya. Rp1.300.000, Rp1.300.000, which means Rp1.300.000. Per, which means each. Sepeda motor, which means motorcycle. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor, which means the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle. Berapa biaya? Berapa biaya? Which means how much is the fee? Mengirim. Mengirim, which means to send. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya, Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor. Which means, the shipping fee from Semarang to Palangkaraya is Rp1.300.000 for each motorcycle. In the sentence, there is the phrase per sepeda motor, which means for each motorcycle. The word per, which means each, which divides each one of the sepeda motor, or motorcycle. Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples using expressions per. Biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan Rp100.000. Biaya anggota di pusat kebugaran ini per bulan Rp100.000. Which means membership in this gym is Rp100.000 per month. Harga tiket bioskop Rp50.000 per orang. Harga tiket bioskop Rp50.000 per orang, which means the movie ticket is Rp50.000 per person. For your information, Indonesian term for a two-wheeled vehicle is sepeda motor, which means motorcycle. However, most Indonesians call motorcycles as motor, which means motor. In some other regions, they call it kereta, which actually means train. Even some call it with certain motorcycle brands. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation. Saya ingin mengirim sepeda motor saya ke Palangkaraya. Berapa biayanya?
Biaya pengiriman dari Semarang ke Palangkaraya Rp1.300.000 per sepeda motor.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about per sepeda motor, which means each motorcycle. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve. Sampai jumpa.
Ini katanya, izinkan aku pulang ke kota. kaki saja menyusuri kota. Ceritakan semua ceritamu padaku. Ya Jakarta, diam kehilanganmu. Bau wangi hujan tak lagi sama. Sudah saatnya kau jemput musik yang tertinggal. Sampai kapan aku kan bernyanyi sendiri. Hingga kini masih selalu menanti. Nanti terbawa lagi langkahku ke sana. Mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya. Izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Ingat waktu itu ku bertanya. Aku mau dengar jawabnya. Sana mantra apa entah yang istimewa. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja. Dengar lagu lama ini katanya. Izinkan aku pulang ke kotamu. Ku percaya selalu ada sesuatu di Jogja.
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
In this edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present the song titled Indonesia Pusaka, performed by Gustin Arviana and accompanied by the sight of ex-Keroncong Orchestra. Indonesia Pusaka, composed by Ismail Marzuki, reflects the pride of being born in a strong nation, recognized by others as a country rich in natural resources and ultimately the place where one will rest until their final breath. The lyrics Indonesia Tanah Air Beta are words that have deeply resonated with the hearts of the Indonesian people. Well, listener, here is Gustin Arviana featuring the sight of ex-Keroncong Orchestra with the song Indonesia Pusaka.
Indonesia tanah abadi nan jaya. Indonesia sejak dulu kala tetap dipuja-puja bangsa. Dibuat
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voinews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.